Flattener number 4. Open sourcing. Self-organizing collaborative communities. Alan Cohen still remembers the first time he heard the word Apache as an adult, and it wasn't while watching a Cowboys and Indians movie. It was the 1990s, the dot-com market was booming, and he was a senior manager for IBM, helping to oversee its emerging e-commerce business. I had a whole team with me and a budget of about $8 million, Cohen recalled. We were competing head-to-head with Microsoft, Netscape, Oracle, Sun, all the big boys, and we were playing this very big-stakes game for e-commerce. IBM had a huge sales force selling all this e-commerce software. One day, I asked the development director who worked for me, "Say, Jeff, walk me through the development process for these e-commerce systems. What is the underlying web server?" And he says to me, "It's built on top of Apache." And he says, "It is a shareware program for web server technology." He said it was produced for free by a bunch of geeks just working online in some kind of open source chat room. I was floored. I said, "How do you buy it?" And he says, "You download it off a website for free." And I said, "Well, who supports it if something goes wrong?" And he says, "I don't know. It just works." And that was my first exposure to Apache. Now you have to remember, back then, Microsoft, IBM, Oracle, Netscape were all trying to build commercial web servers. These were huge companies. And suddenly, my development guy is telling me that he's getting ours off the internet for free. It's like you had all these big corporate executives plotting strategies, and then suddenly the guys in the mailroom are in charge. I kept asking, "Who runs Apache? I mean, who are these guys?" It's called the open source movement, and it involves thousands of people around the world coming together online to collaborate in writing everything from their own software to their own operating systems to their own dictionary to their own recipe for cola, building always from the bottom up rather than accepting formats or content imposed by corporate hierarchies from the top down. The word open source comes from the notion that companies or ad hoc groups would make available online the source code, the underlying programming instructions that make a piece of software work, and then let anyone who has something to contribute improve it, and let millions of others just download it for their own use for free. They do it because they want something the market doesn't offer them. They do it for the psychic buzz that comes from creating a collective product that can beat something produced by giants like Microsoft or IBM, and, even more important, to earn the respect of their intellectual peers. Indeed, these guys and gals are one of the most interesting and controversial new forms of collaboration that have been facilitated by the flat world and are flattening it even more. The intellectual commons form of open sourcing has its roots in the academic and scientific communities, where for a long time self-organized collaborative communities of scientists have come together through private networks and later the internet to pool their brain power or share insights around a particular science or math problem. The Apache web server had its roots in this form of open sourcing. Eventually, I found my way to one of their pioneers, Brian Behlendorf. If Apache, the open-source web server community, were an Indian tribe, Behlendorf would be the tribal elder. I caught up with him one day in his glass and steel office near the San Francisco airport, where he is now founder and chief technology officer of CollabNet, a startup focused on creating software for companies that want to use an open-source approach to innovation. My parents met at IBM in Southern California, and I grew up in a town just north of Pasadena, La Cañada, Behlendorf recalled. The public school was very competitive academically, because a lot of the kids' parents worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory that was run by Caltech there. So from a very early age, I was around a lot of science, in a place where it was okay to be kind of geeky. In grade school, I started doing some basic programming, and by high school I was pretty into computers. I graduated in 1991, but in 1989, in the early days of the internet, a friend gave me a copy of a program he had downloaded onto a floppy disk called Fractint. It was not pirated, but was freeware, produced by a group of programmers, and was a program for drawing fractals, When the program started up, the screen would show this scrolling list of email addresses for all the scientists and mathematicians who contributed to it. I noticed that the source code was included with the program. This was my first exposure to the concept of open source. I started to think that there were some interesting social dynamics to the way certain kinds of software were written or could be written, as opposed to the kind of image I had of the professional software developer in the back office tending to the mainframe, feeding info in and taking it out for the business. That seemed to me to be just one step above accounting and not very exciting. After graduating in 1991, Behlendorf went to Berkeley to study physics, but he quickly became frustrated by the disconnect between the abstractions he was learning in the classroom and the excitement that was starting to emerge on the internet. When you entered college back then, every student was given an email address, and I started using it to talk to students and explore discussion boards that were starting to appear around music, said Behlendorf. In 1992, I started my own internet mailing list focused on the local electronic music scene in the Bay Area. People could just post onto the discussion board, and it started to grow, and we started to discuss different music events and DJs. Then we said, hey, why don't we invite our own DJs and throw our own events? It became a collective thing. Someone would say, I have some records, and someone else would say, I have a sound system, and someone else would say, I know the beach, and if we showed up at midnight, we could have a party.